Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Welcome to another episode of Find Your Daily Calm, where we explore the art of cultivating peace and mindfulness in our daily lives. I'm your host, Sel, and today I am thrilled to be joined by a very special guest, Scott Allen. Scott is not only an accomplished author and motivational speaker, but also an avid practitioner of meditation. Living in Japan, which is fascinating for me, just a short distance from the serene Sojenji Temple, I hope I pronounced that right, Scott has woven meditation and mindfulness deeply into his life and work. Today, he's here to share how these practices have shaped his journey and how we can all bring a bit of this or his tranquility into our own routines. Scott, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
The recording that you shared with us a few weeks ago, the name of the recording or the title of the podcast episode that Scott shared with us is Empowering Gratitude. You may look for that about 2 weeks back. And I assure you, it'll give you practical tips on finding tranquility through gratitude. Could you share a bit about what inspired you to start writing and eventually to publish your own work?
Sure thing. So my journey goes back a few years when I think for self-help. So the books that I publish are all in self-help, personal development, are designed to, of course, teach people how to become the best versions of themselves.
Yeah.
And I started writing these kinds of books because I've read a lot of them. I've done a lot of studying. And I think the knowledge I had, I just felt like it was a waste not to share it with the world. So I decided to write my own book on that. But I was inspired really by a lot of my mentors. For example, Tony Robbins is one of my mentors, and Jim Rohn and Brian Tracy, and a lot of other people who have created this kind of content. And so I was like, well, you know, I'd actually like to, you know, I had some imposter syndrome, of course, but...
Don't we all?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. I was like, I'm just going to go for this. So anyway, about 15 years ago, I sat down and just started to outline my book. And then I started to write it. And I just, for probably 3 or 4 years, I just created a lot of content. I was always doing a lot of reading and research and writing. So I switched more over to taking the research and the knowledge and putting it into the writing. And the writing is something that, I had written a book or books before. I just had not published anything. You know, I'd written a lot of fiction, but when it came to writing anything that had to do with psychology or meditation, for example, or teaching people how to, you know, overcome obstacles and all those things. I was just probably just held back by, you know, am I good enough to do this? And it turns out that the more I practiced that craft, the better at it I got. So we could probably say that with anything, really.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with you. You have to really do it. That's why I got it from a good friend. He told me that if you want to write or you start writing, he gave me 3 words as an advice. He said, ass to chair.
For sure. Yeah.
Simplistic, yeah. But I think it'll work. And, you know, if you have those fears and challenges, I think you have to do it like Scott did it. Now, what have been some of the biggest challenges, Scott, you have faced in your career, your writing career, and how managed to overcome them?
But one of the challenges that I overcame is it wasn't a lack of ideas. It was probably when it comes to publishing, like writing and publishing the books were relatively easy for me. Mm-hmm. I think it had to do with, you know, selling the books and who's going to want to read these books and marketing it. And that's probably a lot of that really just came down to skill set, right? So that could be, and that's still something I learned to this day is, you know, how to lean harder into it. And marketing, by the way, is really just putting yourself out there and getting visibility and attention to your brand and your message. So the biggest obstacle, if I had to choose one, would be getting myself out there and talking about the books and the strategies and everything that I've been writing. That's, you know, was the hardest thing for me to do, because as a writer, we tend to write, you know, we're sitting at a desk, right, you know, behind the computer, and we're just, you know, it's easy to publish things, and that is great, don't get me wrong, but for me, I've always wanted to, you know, be a combination of like writing and, so someone actually said to me once, like, I think it was my partner, she said, you know, you've written these books, like, why don't you get out there and actually start to talk about the things you've been writing about? And mm-hmm. Public speaking is not really my thing, however, inside, you know, like internally, I wanted to do it. Like, I was like, yeah, I just, because first of all, I communicate with people all the time through, you know, coaching, and I was in corporate for a long time, and I've done many presentations and things like that. But something about just getting out there, and it, you can call it stage fright, maybe, or, you know, like, a lot of people are like, have a fear of public speaking. But the thing is, it's only a fear until you start doing it, right? And then it actually gets to a point where it becomes fun, I thought, you know, and not just fun, but exciting. And then you're communicating and connecting with a lot of other people, right? So one more quick obstacle, though, that I experienced just with the writing is probably during COVID, when COVID hit and we all, you know, were dealing with that in different ways. I went through a period where I just had stopped writing altogether. I didn't feel creative. I felt like I created enough. I didn't feel like I had any more ideas. I just hit a real slump. And I don't think I published anything for that whole year. I even considered stopping the publishing and writing and everything altogether and maybe doing something else. But, you know, I pushed through it, though. And then I just had an inspiration for a new book. And I thought, I'm just going to write one more book. And I did. I put it out there. But that was all I needed, was like that leap to like that next book that I put out there. And then, you know, I got back on the roller coaster again and continued forward. Now I've got so many, like so much content that I could create. I probably need to hire, you know, another team just to come in and help me with everything, so, which is a good problem to have.
It is. It is. It's fantastic how you mentioned how the vulnerabilities of like the fear of public speaking or getting yourself out there and putting yourself out there for everyone to see and find out what you're all about. There's a lot of fear in that. I understand. But you also mentioned that once you get to do it, there's fun in actually doing it. And you actually confirm that it's really not something that'll kill you. Mm-hmm. And in your story, you mentioned that there was a slump and it took just one work that you put out as an impetus for the next, which is, I can see, it's like a waterfall of creativity on your part. And speaking of that vulnerability and then doing it and then the gap where you have a slump, those are processes that writers and artists or content creators go through. Now, I'm interested in what's your writing process like? How can you describe it? And how do you move from that initial idea, which is just an idea in the cloud, to a published book or like those behind you, those fantastic books that you wrote?
Yeah, great question. Yeah. So my process for that is So it depends. So sometimes I will get an idea for a book title, right? So I'll give you an example. I came up with the title, Fail Big is one of the books that I put out there. And I think I had, somebody had mentioned to me a while back, you know, that they were struggling with failure, and we started a conversation around that. And I think, my friend said, you know, I wish that I could just fail forward, fail fast, and just fail big. And I thought, yeah, that sounds like a good idea for a title. And so I took the title idea and I created a book around that, the theme. Right? So anyway, but my process for this is like, when I get an idea for a book, I'll start with creating a mind map for it. So up on my wall, I've got a bunch of sticky notes, you know, and I'll just write all my ideas down. I think that's the important thing, is to get all the ideas out of your head on paper, put everything on, whether you use sticky notes or cue cards or something, it doesn't matter. But I'll go from there to making an outline for the book. Mm. These days, I am using ChatGPT a lot for the book structure.
Yeah.
Now, even before it was around, I was always, you know, it would take me weeks to put together an outline and a structure for the book. Maybe a couple of weeks I'd spend. And now, ChatGPT has just given me the ability to do the same thing. Only now I'm spending a few hours on the book structure, which means I can start the writing much faster, you know.
That's right. And getting out those ideas much more robust because we have to admit that ChatGPT helps us with the grammar and structure and all, but the idea, the impetus of that idea should come, it actually comes from you.
Absolutely. That's right. But ChatGPT can, you know, give you a general structure, and then I'll go in and customize it and add in the stories and just add in the elements that I want in the book. Right.
So,
when I start the writing, and this is actually when it comes down to the process of writing, I have a daily word count that I shoot for. So my daily word count every day is 1,000 words.
Wow. It's like 10,000 steps on your wearable, right?
Yes, exactly.
Fantastic. I like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And 1,000 words isn't a lot. I mean, to be honest, I know other writers that do 5,000. One woman I know, she dictates 10,000 words a day and she does fiction books. So that's pretty intense. but I figured, you know, like even back when I started the writing, like way back like 15 years ago, and I started putting these ideas together, I realized, well, I'm going to get this done within, and I wanted to write my book within a year. If I were to do, I think it was like 500 words a day or something. So I would just like show up every day, do the, you know, put in my words early in the morning before the family got up or throughout the day. At the end of the day, all that mattered is that I could just check it off that it was done. So if I was doing 1,000 words a day, and I did it for 30 days, and then that adds up to 30,000 words, you know, and then you have a rough draft after 45 to 60,000 words. So it's really just a numbers game. Now, I also have to know, you know, you have to know what you're creating before you show up. Otherwise, you could just be staring at a blank screen for a very long time. So, So, you know, the night before I just go, okay, well, tomorrow I'm going to write like chapter 12, you know, I would just write it on a sticky note, and then the next day I knew exactly what I was going to be writing. I would actually, so what I'll do is before I start writing, and I don't always do it on the computer, I might actually write in the journal first and then just come over later and just copy it over to the computer and drop it into Google Docs or something like that. But what I'll do is I'll spend 10 minutes of quiet time. We'll call it meditation, but that's actually what I'm doing. I'm meditating on the topic, and I'm thinking about, like, I'll actually close my eyes and just visualize myself writing, which is very powerful. And then I'll actually start to think about the topic and have a conversation in my mind. So there's different forms of meditation for me. There's the traditional meditation that we do when we go to Sogenji every Sunday is like they clear your mind, and we sit there for like an hour to 2 hours just doing that meditation. I also do creative meditation or creative visualization, where I'm actually visualizing the future that I want. And that's a form of meditation as well. But for the writing, though, I'll just spend 10 or 15 minutes maybe just getting comfortable and then start the creative process. I think that's an important, piece of the process for me, is just to spend that bit of quiet time.
The quiet time. I find that interesting and fascinating because, friends, you're listening to Scott right now, we realize that, yes, there's the inspiration that we ought to have and ought to always find or seek for, but there's discipline on his part where I think many writers fall short. Fine, you have the passion, you have the idea, you have the inspiration, but without the discipline of like writing 1,000 words a day, should get you to start and not just have ideas in the cloud where you just talk about it in an empty sense, which is, I find fantastic. And I feel that your discipline comes from the meditation that you practice, which is something that a lot of writers should learn from. Now, of all the books that you've written, Scott, do you have a favorite?
Oh, I think I do. Yeah. So if I had to pick a favorite, it's a hard question, actually, but I'm going to go with Relaunch Your Life.
Relaunch Your Life.
Yeah. Yeah. So Relaunch Your Life is a book that I've written. It's probably been out for about 5 or 6 years.
There you go.
And it's really the reason I wrote the book just quickly is because the book deals with things like self-sabotage and how to, destroy the cycle of self-defeat, which, self-defeating behavior, how to overcome that.
Yeah.
Because that was, has always been an obstacle for me, just dealing with, in my past, like dealing with like addictions or, we'll call them bad habits. And bad habits is anything that pulls you away from your goals. And I always had these, I would get to a certain point, like working on something, and then I would give up, or I would get distracted and go do something else, or I would self-sabotage the project and then start a new one. So behavior change is really important. Not to get off topic, but because if you can change your behavior, you can, you can become more creative. You'll become a lot more calm because some of the behaviors that I had were just a little bit like living in chaos all the time and confusion. And a lot of that comes from, not a dysfunctional mind, but we have to be able to not just control your thoughts, but recognize that, we have all these thoughts every day and not all of them are conducive to our well-being. So Relaunch Your Life is really just about reinventing your life, or really reinventing your day, just every day making that decision that, today is going to be better than yesterday. And every day I'm just going to keep building, towards a better future. No matter how old you are, no matter where you're at, you can have that.
That's true. I agree. I just a couple of days ago, I heard again what Pooh says about today. He says, Pooh said that today is my favorite day, which is demonstrates the fact that every day should be an opportunity for us to get better. And friends, the book Relaunch Your Life, Scott just mentioned it. Go look for it, because I am also going to read that. Reinventing ourselves is important on a daily basis. Yeah. What advice, there are plenty here, Scott, that are also like you, or what, like you were before, wanting to start a writing practice and they want to write the book. What advice would you give to them?
Yeah. So I think, first of all, you have to be clear on what it is that you want to accomplish. So whether it's writing a book or doing something else, just clarity is the key. But you don't have to know every step of the journey. You just have to be able to, as we know, every journey begins with the first step. Well, that's actually very true, because what stops a lot of people from, there are two things that stops people from achieving the goal. Let's use writing a book as an example. First of all, they never actually start writing. And the second thing is they don't finish the book, right? Because somewhere along the way, and this happens, like I work with a lot of authors, and this happens to everybody at least once when they're writing a book, is like at some point they stop the writing, even for a short time. It might be a week. It might be 2 weeks, it might be 2 months, and sometimes it was like years, and I've done that before. I have a couple of writing projects where I kind of put on the back burner, and they're still, I'm bringing them out now, but they've been back there for a little while. There's something about leaving things unfinished that really eats away at us, it eats away at me anyway, and I have
like to unfinished business.
Unfinished business, exactly. Yeah. That's the thing is, but I like to break it down into small steps, right? So that's why my practice is like, if you know what you're going to write about, and you show up every day and you put in your, now I said 1,000 words a day, maybe someone's doing 300 or 500, but it doesn't really matter how many, what the word count is. It just matters if you're showing up and getting it done, because not just for productivity, but you're going to be building trust with yourself that you're working on this thing and you're moving forward, because progress is the name of the game, right? If you're showing up every day and working on this thing, you're making progress and building momentum.
Scott, you mentioned that daily meditation is a critical part of your routine. I'm imagining how you're meditating with the monks at Sogenji Temple. That's part of your routine, especially near the Sogenji Temple in Japan. How has this practice influenced your writing and motivational speaking? And what can our listeners learn from your experience?
Yeah. So what scared me about meditation to begin with was being alone with my own mind. I think that probably scares most people, right? And I was like, what's, you know, but actually once you make it a daily practice, it's a game changer. So first of all, I think a lot of creatives, especially like tend to burn out because we think it's all about productivity, right? So, you know, we get into our computers, we get working, we get doing a bunch of things. And then after that, we go and, you know, maybe take a break or take a walk or have lunch and come back. And then we're at it again and again. You can burn out that way. But I found like my ideas, my creativity, my ideas actually come from a couple of things. First of all, yes, meditation, absolutely. Because when I actually sit down and I start to, you know, get relaxed and I focus on my breathing and I get into the moment, I'm not really, I don't really struggle with, you know, like I don't stop my thoughts from coming in. I actually start to have ideas when I'm in the meditation process. And some of my meditations go really deep. If you stick with it long enough and you can put in like, you know, 30, 45 minutes, an hour, I start to actually have some lucid dreaming starts to happen. And that's really puts you in a different plane altogether. And I don't even know the process for getting into that. It's just, it doesn't happen.
It happens. Every time. Right.
Yeah. But when it happens, I realize, and honestly, sometimes I've probably fallen asleep during meditation. But sometimes I can't tell the difference between whether I'm having a lucid dream or a meditation, but there's a difference. Like, you know, so that's something maybe we can, you know, touch on more. I have to explore it more because it's just one of those things where it's almost a mystery. Like I'm having a dream, but it feels like I'm actually in it. Like it's happening, but I'm not asleep. Like if that makes sense. It's like an awakened dream. It's like a dream while you're awake, you know?
That's right. That's what psychologist mentioned about also changing your life through lucid dreaming. There's such a process for doing that. And you mentioned just a while back, just a few seconds ago or a minute ago, an intriguing title, which is could be an intriguing title for a book, Alone with Your Own Mind. I love that. I
like it.
Yeah, it's you mentioned it, Scott. So it's something that most of our listeners, from feedback that we get, from letters that they send us, they're always, that's the bedrock of why they are listening to the podcast, your motivational talks, the reads, the books that you publish. That's why they read it. And that's why they listen to the podcast, because they're most of the time alone with their own minds, which is a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. It could be great, but it could be something that's overstepping the boundaries of calm, which does not become calm anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And friends, you can hear how Scott delivers his messages, his sentences with such tranquility. Somebody mentioned that Scott Allen, when he shared his audios, very, very zen about it. And I said, that's a right word because he lives in Japan and he lives near Sogenji Temple. Living in Japan, let's go to that, and regularly meditating at that temple in Sogenji must offer unique perspectives and insights. Could you share how these experiences have shaped your approach to personal development and how our listeners can incorporate elements of these practices in their pursuit of calm?
So the first thing is, so Sogenji Temple is, you know, if you check it on the internet, you can probably find
pictures. I did. Beautiful.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's like, it's not just the time when you're actually meditating inside. It's the whole experience of, you know, we drive there. It's like 10, 15 minutes from here. With the car, but then when you're walking through, you got this big gate you walk through, and the nature is just amazing. Like, that's a big part of the inspiration. Is like, you got these trees that are just, I mean, some of them are like they've got to be 100 feet tall, right? So, first of all, it's like a 10-minute walk, down this path towards the temple. You're kind of going up a bit, and then you walk inside, and you know, you walk in, and everybody's, you know, it's a big room, very dark. And we sit down on the cushions and everybody gets ready. And then, you know, the monks begin the chant, which, you know, they do for about 5 minutes. I still have a hard time remembering the chant, but I'm still working at it, right? You know, but the thing is, like, it's just a very, like, very calm atmosphere, which as it should be, right? And, but you feel like there's an energy that is there because everybody else is there, you know, meditating as well. And of course, you know, you're with the monks, which is very peaceful and very powerful. I call it powerful, but there's something just very, you can feel the energy. That's what I really love about it.
I think that's an appropriate word, powerful.
Now, share a quick story. Last month, we went to Kyoto, and I went to one of the most famous temples there, actually, for meditation. Mm. And we spent the morning there, right? We probably spent 3 hours in a meditation, and which is a little bit longer. Like, it's, you know, if you're sitting down for that long, cross-legged, it can be a little bit challenging after an hour, you know, right? So but they, you know, they would give us breaks like after every hour. But the great thing about it is like the monks that were there, one of them was he's really well known for meditation, and you know, so he actually he spent some time with us after the meditation, and the meditation was great, by the way. And then what they did is, like, it was for beginners, but even though I think we're all beginners at something, and I'm always a beginner every day when I start the day. So, you know, but they would, they were teaching us about how to meditate. And I thought that was actually, you know, really good, reminder of like why we're doing this and why it's important. You know, it's all in Japanese too. So, you really got the full experience, right? Anyway, after the, meditation, he took us, it's just me and my partner. He took us around, the back of the temple. He was going to show you something. He took us like through this little forest, you know, towards, about 50 meters into the woods. I'm like, oh, it's kind of weird. What's he going to show us? We get to the back, and there's this little tea house, right? And he goes, this tea house, he goes, is like hundreds of years old. Right? And it really was like, it was, you couldn't even go inside, but it was like this tiny little house. And it had this little door that was literally like 3 feet high. Right. And he said, this tea house, he said, was used by the samurai 500 years ago. They would come from Osaka, right, to Kyoto, where they would come to this place, to this tea house. And by the way, the grounds for this temple were huge. Like, you could spend the whole day just walking around. Wow. Right? So he says, you know, this tea house is where, like, they would put their swords here because you can't enter with your sword.
Yeah.
And he goes, they would put them right here, and they have to crawl through into this tea house. And we can actually look through the window, and there's just like this, you know, small room is like maybe 10 by 10 and like with the tatami floors. But he goes, this is where they would come to meditate and drink tea so that they could become like actually calm and peaceful during war. Right. That didn't make sense to me. I think it's right. But he's like, but anyways, for me, but he goes like, not everybody gets to see that. He showed it to us on that day because we were talking to him, and I was talking to him about, you know, I've published a couple of books in Japan, and we gave him a copy, and he's interested in that. And he goes, while we're having a conversation, I want to show you this. So it's a really interesting experience, you know, that going way back hundreds of years ago, even the samurai were all about, you know, maintaining like that calm and peace, even though they were warriors. So.
Yeah, that's the dichotomy of calm and going to war. But I guess that's what made them effective warriors, because they go through that period first before they actually go off to war. You just made me imagine or got me excited again for the 10th episode of Shogun, which is what I'm following on Netflix right now. But I digress.
Me too.
You are?
Oh, yeah. Did you
finish episode 9?
I did yesterday, yes.
Yeah, me too. My only regret is I should have just waited for the whole thing to finish. Now I'm always anxious for it every week for a new episode.
Oh, for sure.
Scott, your parting shot. I know time flies when we're having an interesting conversation. Maybe we can do this again, but please, your parting shot.
Yeah, just I think if you want to get into meditation, if you want to develop a calm mind and just know what it feels like to have that peace within yourself, first of all, you just have to show up every day and make that, make it like block in the time or block out the time on your calendar for meditating, for having your, you know, like that calm period of the day. Like, you really have to be intentional with it, because if you just think, well, okay, I'm going to do this when at the end of the day, when I have, you know, everything winds down, but at the end of the day, you're kind of tired and, you know, you may not feel like having a meditation, you know, hour with yourself. And it doesn't have to be an hour. Maybe it's some days I do it for 15 minutes or 30 minutes. I try to go for an hour. I sometimes listen to music, but you don't need that to get into the mood, right? You know, you just have to make it a daily habit, because the thing is that like with anything, when I would practice it, whenever I felt like it, I never really did it. But when I started to do it consistently over time, I started to see the benefits. Like, yes, it will make you more calm. And just to summarize what that is for me, like, I can be in the middle of chaos. You can put me in the middle of I don't know, a meeting where people are screaming at each other and just losing their minds, and I'll be the most calm person in the room. I could even have people yelling at me, maybe, and I won't react to it, right? I could, and we do, and that tends to be the, you know, when someone's in your face, you want to kind of, you know, but the thing is, like, if you're practicing that calmness and you're aware of it, right, you're aware that you have a choice whether or not you want to react or just maintain your calm state. It kind of throws people off because it's like, what's wrong with this guy? He's like, we're all upset and he's just kind of sitting there, like, not really reacting. And I'm like, well, what would you like me to say? You know, so I just like to maintain that level of calmness. Like, you know, it really is a practice, right? But you can get there by meditating, because you realize during meditation, that's when you're actually, you know, you're starting to breathing in and breathing, by the way, like that, to me, that's the root of everything.
That's right. You know,
because for me, first of all, air is one of the things that it's a necessity. So you appreciate the fact that you're bringing air into your body and exhaling, right? And it's just one of those things that coming back to the gratitude, air is one of the things I feel like in, you know, immense gratitude for, as well as water and these very, the very basics of. So,
yeah.
But to wrap this up though, just, you know, if anyone's looking to develop a calm mind, certainly reading material on it. One of the books I have actually is called The Undefeated Mind. It's a book I'm currently reading.
The Undefeated Mind, yeah.
Yeah, love it, yeah. So just reading material on it, but then practicing, you know, like developing the practice of meditation and focusing on your breathing. And by the way, you can meditate, but you don't have to be sitting on a cushion and meditating for that to be the only time you're there. I meditate on buses and trains. And what I mean by that is I'm focusing on the moment, and I'm just focusing on my breathing. And when you do that, things start to slow down around you. I can actually, it almost feels like time is slowing down when you, it's like the energy is, the energy is not vibrating like this. It's actually slowing down.
Yeah.
And you almost feel like you're controlling the moment. It's very powerful. So.
That's a fantastic imagery. And I know what you mean, Scott. Dear friends, please keep listening to that. If you want to rewind what Scott just said, keep doing it, because it really happens. That's mindfulness. And as Scott mentions it, the way he says it, calm is really the cradle of power. That's where it starts. Thank you, Scott, for joining us today and for sharing such profound insights on integrating mindfulness and meditation into everyday life. Every day is a project for all of us. It's been enlightening to learn about your practices and how they can help maintain a calm and focused spirit. To our listeners, we hope today's episode inspires you to explore meditation and mindfulness further, perhaps even finding your own daily calm, which Scott does every day on buses, on trains, on the queues. Don't forget to check out Scott's work on his Amazon storefront, which we will put also on the episode's show notes, and at Scott Allen Publishing for more wisdom. Until next time, keep seeking peace and stay calm. Thank you for tuning in to Find Your Daily Calm.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.